But I tell you, when the Spirit is flowing, it is awesome. No place I'd rather be. And that's just a taste. That's just a taste of what's to come. If you guys have ever experienced it, when the Holy Spirit overtakes you. Just wait till you see that man face to face. Just wait. It's going to be awesome. For us who are in Him. Those who are not. We're in a tumultuous time in our country right now. Got a big election next week. And I was listening to a panel, actually. There were some people from Moody, Dr. Edward Lutzer, and a few others. They're talking about it. There's some truth there. Is, you know, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, whoever is elected, there's a plan and a purpose. And at the end of the day, God is in control. And we have nothing to fret. And I was listening to someone who called on, like, it was K-Love Radio. And this girl was like, you know, really worried about, like, we're going to lose, what if we lose our religious freedoms? You know, like, could they shut you guys down? And I remember the DJ on Caleb just saying, you know what? If that happens, that happens. It's already happening. That happens in other third world countries. But we remain constant, and our promise is not here, but it's what to come. So it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, you have to remain steadfast in your faith. You have to remain steadfast in your faith. It doesn't matter what is taken away from you, what is robbed from you, because there's a promise that He will restore what the cankerworm and the locust have taken away. And I'm not talking about prosperity. I'm talking about thy kingdom come. That's right. He has a plan. He has a purpose. And He has complete control of things. He is still the God of the universe. And He still has control, regardless of whomever is elected as president or whomever is elected in our office. And just remember that, because we're not supposed to fret as Christians. Okay? So, before I left, and thank you, Brother Ed, for covering the last 2 weeks. Thank you for bringing the word and being steadfast in truth and sharing. I did listen. I've listened to your sermons. Stayed up last night, actually, to listen to them. So, no. Fine. At the end of the day, we left off with the sword of the Spirit. And I do want to go back into it a little bit, because some of that was cut out. The entire sermon that we had before I left was cut out. But I think it's kind of to rehash things, because it's important to understand everything we've learned over. And I'm looking back at notes like when this journey started back in June, and we've been talking about the armor of God, and we've been talking about steadfastness and all these things since I've taken over the pulpit, since my dad passed away. And it's just so constant of a reminder for me. And I could preach about this topic forever. Until Jesus comes, I could keep talking about it. And for some of you, maybe that gets a little regurgitated and you don't like it. But unfortunately, all of us need to grow and we need to learn. And that's what, like, scripture memorization is for. And you hear these things over and over again. And it's got to get down into your heart. It's got to be received on good, fertile ground. Because when times turn sour, when things go bad, it's what's in here. It's what's in here that is going to make the difference and see you through. Do you understand? So let's go to our opening text. Well, actually, before we do that, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Father, have your will and your way this morning. Your word to be spoken. Your truth. Speak through my lips, Father. Touch the hearts, not the mind. Block out the distractions that we may receive of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And that first piece of armor was the loins girt about with truth. And remember, with our soldier, he was tucking in his tunic. He was tucking in the loose ends of his life, tucking it all in, no phrase, tucking it in and committed to the truth. We have on the breastplate of righteousness, which is holiness. Holiness. We live a holy life as Christians, committed to that, committed to that which has been given to us. Our feet is shod with the preparation of gospel of peace, to say that God is on our side. Like we were just talking about, it doesn't matter what comes our way. I have peace to know that all is well. He is in control. You either believe that God is in control or you don't. And we have the shield of faith that quenches the fiery darts, so we're constantly prepared, defending our faith. Committed to the faith. Committed to the faith. You're either committed to the truth or you are committed to not truth. And I've made the comment before, every time we as Christians sin, we've bought the lie. Full price, right there. You just spent it all. You bought the lie. That's what Satan does. He's a father of lies. Every time you've discounted the truth and made your own truth, which is not truth. You understand? You've bought the lie. I've bought the lie. We're all sinners. No one here is perfect. The helmet of salvation, which was, we are justified by the cross, we are in the process of sanctification, and we have the hope of glorification, what's to come. That's the promise to hold on to, the promise ahead that he is going to return, and we will be glorified. We will stand before him. No more tears, no more sorrow. And then we have the sword of the Spirit, which was the only offensive weapon, right? The sword of the Spirit, which was a source of truth in the Gospel of John. It was a source of guidance in Psalms. It was a source of blessedness in Proverbs. It was a source of growth in 1 Peter, which brother just spent two sermons on in 1 Peter. And it's okay that it gets regurgitated. We'll keep reading this book until he comes back. And you know what? It says that truth will remain. What is truth? It's the living word. This is alive, folks. It is alive. That word is a source of power, even to our eternal life. It's a source of patience and comfort, and according to the book of Romans. It's spiritual victory in Ephesians 6. The victory has been won. It was won at the cross. It was won. We stand for in that victory. In Hebrews 4:12, it is the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the soul asunder of the soul and spirit, divides the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. A discerner of your thoughts in your heart. When you read that, when I just said that, what does that say to you? What speaks to you? Is the Spirit speaking to you? Is it speaking to you saying, oh, the Lord is looking at me right now. He is looking at my thoughts. He is looking at my intentions, right? We always talk about, I've made the comment about the masquerade. I think even Jessica made a comment about it once too, about the mask. Are you wearing a mask? Or are the thoughts pure? Are your intentions pure? If not, push the reset button. Push it. I promise you, you won't regret it. Stay committed to the truth. Stay committed to Him. Because the sword cuts and it reaches the heart. The center of all things action. It's your motives and your feelings. It's a spiritual weapon, and so it's in the spiritual realm, not earthly. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God through pulling down the strongholds. Remember us talking about strongholds? And I'll probably end up doing some type of series on strongholds down the road. Because all this stuff is just keeps come back tied together. The weapons are mighty through God. Mighty was dynatos, powerful, capable, able, strong, mighty in wealth and influence, strong in soul to bear calamities and trials with fortitude and patience. Fortitude and patience, strength and patience. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, but let patience have her perfect work, because the trying of your faith worketh patience, folks. We have to be able to, I told you the sword here, if you guys remember in our scripture, in our text, the sword as referenced is in the Greek is makaria, which is a small sword, which means you have to have it with precision, correct? You have to be able to wield it with precision. If you are going to inflict a blow, it's not a long, big sword that you are swinging broadly. It is a more of like a dagger or short sword that you have to be precise, which takes training. It takes practice. And that's what 2 Timothy 2:15 is. Study to show thyself approved. A workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we talked about that specifically because the word described in the Greek, the word of God, just in review, remember, the word of God in Greek was three things. It was graphe, which is the book. It is the book, graphe, but it's not what they're referencing here as far as the word of God. It was not logos, which is in John 1, which was in the beginning was the word. So it wasn't a message. It wasn't the broad term theme or message of the scripture. What the word of God is here in the sword of the spirit is rhema. It is a spoken utterance. And we use that example. And I think we have to go back through Matthew 4 again. And I've used this several times in this series because I think it's important to understand Jesus spoke the word in defense. He spoke the word as an offense, but he is the living word, but if he had to do it, what do we have to do? If the Son of God had to use the spoken word to combat the enemy, what do you think we would have to do? You understand? That's why it's so important to go back through these things. It's, you know, you should be marking up your Bible and marking it up for your reference to go back. So when you are under attack, you go, what happened here? What do I need to do? You don't just call pastor up or you don't talk to someone else. You research the Word of God yourself. Do you understand? This is your manuscript. You have to know your manuscript. You don't just like wing it. It's like an instruction manual. Most people, maybe some people are gifted, but you know, like most men, we usually like throw out the instructions and we usually screw something up when we put something together, right? Good rise. So let's go to Matthew 4. Let's go there. And we'll keep things moving here because I'm not going to go through everything of the last scriptures. But in Matthew 4, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. So then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." So the point is, he met Jesus. If you remember, the devil met Jesus at his point, at his problem. He'd been fasting for 40 days. He was hungry. And so he came and he's tempting him. He's command these stones to be turned to bread. You're the Son of God. Why are you fasting? What are you doing this for? You shouldn't lack anything. You were up on the throne room, sitting next to the right hand of the Father. Why are you fasting? What are you doing? God's wrong if he withholds anything from you, right? No. We don't know his plans and purposes. We just have to trust him, right? All things work together for the good according to his purpose that are called. So he says, Jesus answered when Satan said, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones be bread. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So he responded, uttering the written word, right? I said last time, so the living word had to use the written word to combat the enemy of the word, right? You just say that so we can sequence down. So I think that's probably worthy of a note, that the living word had to use the written word to combat the enemy of the word. And who is the enemy of the word? It is Satan. So he says, let's understand this in John verse 1. Yeah, that was my notes. So living word, use a written word. Okay. Pick it up in verse 5. Then the devil took him up to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. So again, he's saying you're hungry, nobody knows who you are, claim what you want. Nobody knows you're the Son of God, they're just questioning who you are. But he gives him an incomplete quote. He doesn't complete it. He doesn't use all of Psalms 91. I'm talking about Satan. Satan gives a little bit of truth mixed with a little bit of lie, and then he's got you, right? And then the temptation comes, and then what happens? When you fall, you've bought the lie, right? You've bought into it, lock, stock, and barrel. So Jesus then said unto him, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So he didn't say, I'm just going to jump off the temple and tempt the Lord. He said, no. He said, you shall not tempt me. And so the third part was, again, the devil took him up into a exceedingly high mountain and showed them all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. The world system, remember? The world system. And he's already got the promise. He already knows that he will set reign. He will sit in Jerusalem, establish his kingdom. He's already got control of those. Yet Satan's saying, no. I can give you these now if you just bow down and worship me. You don't need to go to the cross. Just bow down and worship me. And Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve, which was quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And as a result of hitting him three different times, boom, 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 three different ways, boom, 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 the tempter, the father of lies, came at him three different times. And how did Jesus respond? He was steadfast in his response because he used the written word to combat against him. And as a result, Satan fleed. He fleed. And we ended with talking about Psalms, about how do you love the law of the word? Do you love it? Is it breath in your lungs, like we were just singing? How many like that, by the way? The Ezekiel chapter 37, that was where that was from. Elijah, the valley of dry dead bones. You look out upon this country, you look upon the world, there's a lot of dry and parched people who maybe once thought they knew Christ. There are pulpits that are dry and parched. They don't speak. There's no breath in them. It's just vain words. It means nothing. And Jesus' spirit resides inside us, so it should breathe life. It should be life and hope and truth to people who don't need to fret. I heard this story about a man, and my underwriter was telling me about this, that just this past week, they had a search party in the Waterfall Glen Forest Preserve. A man committed suicide. Drove his car over there, went in there, committed suicide, and they had a search party for him. And I was thinking about how sad that happened, that someone felt like there was no solution in life. I just got to end it now. I just got to end it now. That's so sad. And I don't know the man, I don't know the name of who it was, but it's so sad to know that that man probably for the rest of eternity will burn in hell. Because maybe someone didn't, everyone knows that you're at least given the opportunity at least once as far as truth, otherwise God would be a liar. But how many times are we muzzled? And I was praying that this morning. How many times do we muzzle our mouth that no one was able to speak life into that person? How many people do we come in contact with that we just shrug and just say, I want to move on with my day. I'm not going to take the time of day. I'm not going to inconvenience myself. And that little bit of time, if you had just taken maybe 1 or 2 minutes, maybe that would make a difference to somebody, to give them hope. Truth. What is truth? What is truth? I am the way, the truth, and the life is what Jesus said. So we had the sword of the Spirit, which was the offensive weapon. But then verse 18 ends with praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And I like to read it in the New King James Version, and I'm actually going to expound on 18, which is praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, this is Paul, the utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. That's his identity. That is his identity, folks. An ambassador in chains to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So we're told to pray in the Spirit. The mind of Christ with his heart, his priorities, that Spirit is inside you. It was breathed into you that moment you kneeled at the cross and said, yes, Jesus, I want you. I need you. Come into my life. The Spirit, a miracle happened. The Spirit of the living God was breathed into you, into your life. That's why I love singing that song today. You guys hadn't heard that song before, but it's just so awesome. It's so simple, but so awesome. How great is our God? So in addition to wearing the full armor of God, without prayer, without reliance upon God, our efforts are futile. They are empty. So the last of the armaments is actually really an attitude. It's an attitude of approach. In the story of Gideon, the soldiers were actually chosen based on their watchfulness. How many know the story of Gideon? Do you all know that? If you don't know it, we will be doing that. We'll do it. My dad, one of my dad's favorite sermons to preach on. So I'm sure we will end up going through that story sometime. If you haven't, I encourage you, if you have not read that, you should read it. Look it up in the book. I think it's in Judges. The soldiers were chosen based on their watchfulness, and they caught the enemy sleeping and won through surprise. Even the best of armor is actually useless when soldiers are dozing off. So we are commanded in that verse, watchful to this end with all perseverance. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, it says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. In Mark 13, verse 33, it says, take heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. When what? When what time is, folks? When the Son of Man comes. Hallelujah. The camel train's coming. It is going to be a wonderful day, Al. It is going to be a wonderful day. No more tears, no more sorrow. 1 Thessalonians 5:6, therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Who are the others? Who are the others? It's the world. It's the world. We're not of the world. We're pilgrims passing through, brother. We're pilgrims passing through. We are not of the world. We are in this world, but we are not of the world. So it says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom he may devour. Because you're not steadfast, he can devour you. Because you want to go back to the mud, he will devour you. Keep your eyes focused on the prize. Focused at the end of the race that's set before you. Jesus is there. Come on, stay focused. Focus on me. Focus on me. So Paul ends that section encouraging us to pray fervently for ourselves, for each other, for the work of the church. The church moves forward. I think Jessica even said this. The church moves forward, and each of us individually, when we are on our knees. Praying reminds us of the battle, reminds us of the source of strength and defense that God provides us because he loves us. And it reminds God that we are fully committed to him if you're in communion with him. To follow him as obedient and faithful soldiers. We are soldiers of the cross. Did you guys know that? We are soldiers of the cross. Praying and studying his word are the two things. That's why the sword of the Spirit is so important to go back through that. Because the sword of the Spirit, studying to know the truth, studying to show yourself approved, and prayer are the two things that are effective in combating Satan. So when we put on the whole armor of God, we are prepared for Satan's attacks. We're prepared for him when he attacks us with pride and envy and lust. The pleasures of the world. The itching ears to find somebody to okay what I just did. The disappointment and discouragement, doubt or division that's rampant in our country right now. It's rampant. Division. Or any other tricks he wants to use. He wants to shift your focus from God Almighty to yourself and to your own plan. Shift your focus. That's exactly what he's trying to do. And so how do you stay that? So verse 18 focuses on the main points of prayer. Because at the end of the day, it will help the Christian stand when all else fails. Prayer. Prayer. It's like I talked about that story when my wife called me frantic. Let's stop and pray. When all else fails, let's stop and pray. When life turns against you, when you feel like it's got you down, you stop and pray. Get in communion with the Lord. He loves you. He wants to hear from you. Have a little talk with Jesus is what that Jimmy Swaggart song is. A little prayer, a wheel of prayer turning. So God's armor is complete. It's absolutely essential part of surviving and winning against Satan. And Paul adds that we should be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And that keeps us in a steady line of communion and communication with our Heavenly Father. Through Jesus. So how can we be praying always with all prayer? What does that mean? What does that mean? All prayer. Luke 21, 36. It says, watch you therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Hallelujah. Stand. So our God stands ready to provide us with strength, wisdom, and courage to stand against our enemy. But first we have to come before him and ask for it. So when that day comes, you will be able to stand before him, and then he will say, well done, thy true and faithful servant. Well done. In Acts 6, verse 8, the early apostle said, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. In Romans 12, 12, Paul tells us the body to be rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, and go ahead and turn there, folks. We're just getting started on prayer too. You guys there? Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4 says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds." Again, there he goes. He said, "I'm in bonds, that I may make manifest as I ought to speak." Isn't that kind of cool? Reading Ephesians chapter 6, 18 through 20, and then you read that, 2 through 4. It's pretty similar. But what I found was really great was continue here in that scripture. Verse 2, in the Greek, is prosokatero, which means to be constant towards one, to be steadfastly attentive unto, to give unremitting care to a thing, to continue all the time in a place. So I want to continue in his presence at the foot of the cross, to persevere and to not faint, to show oneself courageous, to be constant readiness for one. He is going to return, folks. He is going to return. You're going to look up and behold, your redemption is near. Just like Luke says. I love that. How continue, just the simple word continue, all that was built into that. Steadfast. Be steadfast in prayer. Be steadfast in your faith. You guys with me here? You guys look a little glazed over. So in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So Luke 18, verses 1 through 8, he said, and he spoke a parable. Let's turn there. Turn over to Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. Talk about steadfastness, persistency, consistency. You guys there? Luke 18, verse 1 through 8. This is a parable. He said, and he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and to not faint, saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. Boy, there's a lot of pride right there, huh? And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said with himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming, she weary me. Her continually coming, she weary me. She was steadfast. She continued, avenge me, avenge me, avenge me, avenge me. And the guy's like, all right, come on. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find faith on the earth? So Luke wrote that Jesus said this parable to teach that men ought always not, they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Don't lose heart of the circumstances. You know, they actually, the scriptures in Revelation talk about the prayers of the saints. It's like an incense before the throne room of God. I think it's in Revelation 5 and also Revelation 8. An incense. Have you ever lit incense? You see the smoke and it just fills the room. And our prayers are like incense in the throne room of God. He's breathing them in. So in her quest for justice, the widow never gave up in seeking help from the unjust judge. So in our quest for victory, we must never give up seeking help from God. How do we seek him? We make known the petitions of our heart. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, pray without ceasing. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. So that command to pray is without ceasing. It's not to say that you're continuously like in dialogue with God every second of the day. You're not just sitting there talking. But it's a connection to God. It's maintained through regular prayer. It's studying his word. It's righteous living. But basically what happens is we become instant in season and out of season to come before our God in prayer at all times, not just times of distress and need. We as Christians often look at prayer as only a selfish way. I'm in distress, I'm in need, and that's the only thing I'm going to come to the Lord upon. And it doesn't work that way, and we're going to be learning about that. So we often look at prayer as a means to fulfilling the selfish needs because we are selfish people. We are. We are selfish people, and so we need to be in prayer always, good, bad, regardless, giving Him glory, giving Him adoration. That's what we were doing today when we were worshiping. When we were worshiping, we were giving Him adoration, thanks, talking, sharing with Him. We are constantly aware of God's presence in our life. Doesn't mean you're sitting there on your knees 24/7. Obviously, we have jobs. We have things we have to do. But it doesn't matter. All things point to God. You are continue in season and out of season. And yes, there are times when you shut your door. There are times when you pray. There are times when you say, thank you, Jesus. And you pray right then and there. You give a little shout of glory, whatever it is. But there are other times when you are silent. You are still in communication with Him. I think we're going to end there, because I have quite a few more notes, so we will be going through more prayer and supplication. How many of you guys like that? Because I think it's going to be really good to tie it in at the end of the day when we finish on the armor. And I just like that it's really, it doesn't sit, you don't think of prayer as an armor, but it is. It is a piece. It encompasses the entire armor itself. It's like the covering over it all. It's like the container that holds all the equipment for you. Right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. I thank You, Father. I thank You, Father, for this word. I thank You for the changes it's making in my life, Father. As I was putting together this study, that I pray first. That I come to You first in my life. Be with this church body, Father. Strengthen them. Empower them, Father. Help them to be bold this week as they go out into their workplaces, as they go out into the communities, Father, as they come in contact with those, that they may share Your love that they have experienced. For much is given, much is expected, Father. Help us to be a light into this dark world, Lord, and to remain steadfast and constant, that regardless of what happens this week, that people could look to us and say, wow, nothing fazes them. Why is that? And that we seize that opportunity when they ask that question, Father. Protect us. Protect this church, Father. Help us to grow more like You and less of us, to die to ourselves. In Jesus' holy name, amen.